I'm Rose Scott.
And I'm Dennis O'Hare. We begin with Turner Field. It's apparent that Georgia State University will buy Turner Field. What's not clear is what will the new redevelopment look like, and will surrounding communities be happy about it? Here on Closer Look, we have heard from Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed and from representatives of the Turner Field Community Benefits Coalition, and most recently, Atlanta's Commissioner of the Department of Planning and Community Development.
Well, if so, Turner Field and its adjacent 77 acres is slated to become a $300 million mixed-use complex. Now, that would include GSU student housing, shops, restaurants, and sports fields for the university. But nearby neighborhoods want to make sure that includes affordable housing and what they call other community benefits. Well, joining Closer Look with the latest is Atlanta Councilwoman Keisha Lance Bottoms, who's also the executive director of the Atlanta Fulton County Recreation Authority. Welcome. Glad to have you with us again.
Thank you for having me back.
Let's get an update. And all the parties involved here were waiting on this LCI study, correct? So, which is supposed to give a more balanced blueprint, if you will, what this development would look like. Is that where we are right now? We're in a waiting sort of pattern here?
So, well, let me begin by correcting something.
Okay,
it
sure.
is not clear that Georgia State will be purchasing Turner Field.
Are there other people in the mix? Because that's all we hear about is Georgia State University.
Well, certainly. I think that Georgia State obviously has had a very public conversation about their interest. But that's what this formal RFP process will be all about, finding out, formally, who else is interested.
Well, who else is interested? Do you know anybody else?
Well, I'm sure the same things that you all have read. So you have Georgia State, obviously, and you have casinos who, very publicly
sure.
have shown an interest in Georgia, not just Atlanta. But we will see once the RFP is issued, which is the process that the Recreation Authority is working and finalizing right now. But it will give people an opportunity to place bids.
When can we expect this to be completed? I'm here in July 2016. Is that true, that we will see the results of the study or the LCI? Is that true? When will we know for sure?
So there are two things that we have going here. So you have the LCI, mm-hmm. And for people who don't know what that is, that's the
Livable Cities Initiative,
I apologize. And that's in conjunction with the city and with the Atlanta Regional Commission. And it essentially will look at the area, and it's a huge area. The Turner Field area is really only about 6% of that study area. And from that, many recommendations will be made, including transportation recommendations. But the other part of that is the formal process for identifying a developer for Turner Field. And that's what we are referring to as the RFP process. And so the LCI is happening on one track.
Okay.
And the RFP will happen on another. But they are certainly parallel tracks. And in my opinion, it's important that they be parallel. So while the LCI schedule takes it out to the spring, as we're looking at finalizing, formalizing, and actually issuing a RFP, that will likely be done in the near future,
okay.
the very near future. But that's just the first step. So when you publicly issue the RFP, there is a period of time that people have to make a determination if they want to respond. There's an evaluation period, and it takes several months once the RFP has been issued, actually, for a sale to be finalized. And I think if you look at what happened with Underground and with the Civic Center, you can have an idea of what that process is like.
But I think the question here is, because folks in the neighborhood particularly want to wait on the results of the study, and simultaneously, as you kind of implied, there's a push to get things done. Is it possible that we'll see decisions made before the study is in and before communities have had a chance to weigh in on it?
Well, I think those are two different questions, Dennis. In terms of having communities weigh in, communities are weighing in now.
Well, sure, but once the study's out, they're going to want to weigh in on what the study says.
Well, certainly. But tomorrow, there's a community meeting where we will formally talk about the RFP, but also we will briefly talk about the LCI and what it means to the process. And as I have talked with the city planning department, everyone agrees that the LCI is important. It is extremely important. However, it does not prohibit the RFP going forward, and the RFP going forward will not interfere with the work and feedback that we will get from the LCI.
But I think you know where the question is going, which is by the time the study is in and everybody's had a chance to evaluate it and give their opinions on it, on that other track that you talked about with the RFPs, will the train have already left the station, to continue the analogy?
Absolutely not, because one of the things that we will very likely ask for in the RFP is that the recommendations from the LCI be considered.
Will that be a condition of deciding who gets the bid?
It will certainly be a consideration.
Not necessarily a condition?
Well, there will be several conditions and considerations, and until the RFP is issued, it won't be appropriate for me, just for legal reasons, to go into the details. But I can tell you in every conversation that we have had internally and externally on behalf of the Recreation Authority, and the community has let us know, and the city has also said the LCI is important, it needs to be considered. And the Recreation Authority acknowledges that and is going to do everything possible to make sure those recommendations are considered. But I think it's important that people understand the recommendations from the LCI are a small portion of an entire evaluation that will be needed to determine the redevelopment of Turner Field. So, for example, you could have a proponent who completely agrees to abide by the LCI and doesn't meet any of the other requirements, and they may not be the appropriate developer for the area. So we will have to look at a number of factors, but I can tell you that consideration of the LCI, the recommendations on the LCI will be considered. And the great part about it, a lot of the recommendations from the LCI can also be made in other forms. And so it's not necessary that we wait for a finalized report on the LCI. We can continue to get that information and that input as we proceed during the process.
Can you understand someone who's listening saying, well, look, if the LCI you're saying is very important, a very critical piece of it, although a small piece of it, with the RFP, you could have a lot more to put in there to be specific and have a greater pool of candidates who clearly understand what the city wants. So why not just wait on the LCI, which is crucial?
Well, the thing that I think most people, struggling is making sure that people understand what all of this means. And so, for example, there's an LCI in the Greenbrier area. Mm-hmm. The LCI is a recommendation.
Sure.
Sometimes LCIs exist for any number of years and aren't necessarily implemented immediately. So it's important that we have a study done. It's important to remember the city of Atlanta, who comprises essentially two-thirds of the Recreation Authority, has supported the LCI process financially and with city staff. And so no one wants recommendations from the LCI to fall into a black hole. But the other part of that is the reality of Turner Field. Turner Field is a 48,000-seat stadium. The Braves have said that they are leaving in December of 2016. And so consideration has to be given, one, what happens when they leave? And two, is someone ready to be in place to take over that facility? And not just taking it over, but there's a transition period.
Well, you don't want it to just sit like we've seen other pockets of the city, Far Road and Peachtree, which set, I think there was a hole there for a couple of years.
Look at City Hall East.
You set remember? There for years. So is that one reason also to make sure you kind of want to get this process moving as swift as possible so you don't have an empty stadium there?
Certainly.
Just sitting.
Certainly. And most importantly, what an empty stadium will mean for the community. When I began at the Recreation Authority June 1st, one of the first conversations I had was with Mike Plant, president of the Braves. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the transition of Turner Field and how long it would take to get a team in place. Because you have to remember, the Braves have an entire staff of people who run that facility day in and day out. And in my mind, I thought, oh, 6 months, transition time? And he said, no, you need a team in place 1 year out to even understand how to operate this facility. And so when you talk about operating this facility, even from the locks on the doors, the Braves have a proprietary lock system on the doors. Somebody has to understand how to open the door when they leave. And that's not going to happen overnight. And so
shouldn't y'all be talking about those kinds of things right now?
We certainly are talking about those things right now. But part of that conversation is not waiting when we can proceed on parallel tracks and making sure that the community understands that their input is most important and will be given utmost consideration. But it doesn't mean that we can't proceed in determining what the future of Turner Field will be.
And going back to that idea of getting going with the authority, there was concern when you were appointed, and it especially came from Fulton County Commission Chair John Eaves, that your appointment, because you're a member of the City Council and head of the Recreation Authority, was a conflict of interest. Have you resolved that debate with Chairman Eaves and the members of the County Commission, because they also have seats on the authority?
Well, the Recreation Authority actually is comprised of representatives from Fulton County and the City of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Two Fulton County commissioners serve on the Recreation Authority, and Marvin Arrington is the vice chair. Chairman Eaves and I have never had a conversation about this. I've read about what Chairman Eaves has expressed as his concerns, but we've never spoken personally.
Why not? I mean, is it just that neither of you has reached out to the other, or have there been, you know, phone tag being played or anything like that?
Well, actually, I emailed Chairman Eaves several months ago and offered to meet, and we've not had the opportunity to meet yet.
He's on Twitter.
He is on Twitter.
So are you.
and I am on Twitter, and I am still willing to meet as I was several months ago when I made the first offer to meet. And I think that, you know, to the extent that there are concerns, we've had open dialogue with Fulton County. And I think that I'm sure at any given time, if a meeting is necessary, we are both willing to have it. But I have to wait for a response to my email, I suppose.
Well, you know where his office is, Councilwoman Bottoms?
I do. And like I said, and, you know.
Well, he offered to have a lemonade summit with
the mayor.
Mayor Reed.
Not just to
make light of this, but because the appearance is that people running the government are not talking to each other. And as taxpayers who are listening to this saying, okay, wait a minute. You all have to come together to make a decision on this, and you can't even return phone calls. I mean, you can understand that, correct?
No, I certainly do. And I am going to assume that the concerns that Chairman Eaves had have been alleviated, because he has not responded to my offer to meet that I made several months ago. So I'm going to actually take that as a good sign that the concerns he had several months ago have been alleviated, and that his questions are being answered through the Fulton County representatives on the Recreation Authority Board. And so I know the listeners can't see me smiling, but I'm smiling because I'm assuming we are past that point, because there's real work to be done. And we are in the midst of it. And Fulton County is on board, and the city is on board, and we're continuing to work together. And I think based on what I saw and read from Chairman Eaves, his concern was about Fulton County having a seat at the table. And I truly believe that that has been alleviated. As I mentioned, Commissioner Arrington and Commissioner Ellis are both actively involved with the Recreation Authority. And in fact, we are working with Fulton County and the City of Atlanta to make sure that everyone's input is included in the RFP, because to the extent that we can resolve any issues or concern on the front end, it's important to do that. But Dennis, going back to your question, as you remember, when I came on at the Recreation Authority, a question was submitted to our ethics officer in the City of Atlanta about whether or not it's a conflict of interest. or any ethical reasons that I should not be allowed to serve? And the answer was no. And so I've been on board since June, and just as I'm sure Chairman Eves' concerns have been alleviated, I trust that everyone else's has. And we've moved on to some real work, and there's a lot of work to be done. So,
another related subject, Katie Leslie of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported this morning that you recently spent about $7,300 to pay for a mailing to residents around Turner Field to talk about this. Just for clarification, because she was also talking about another mailing, did the funds for this one, the Turner Field mailing, come from your district account or from the authority?
No, the funds for the mailer for Turner Field came from Turner Field, and it worked out to be probably around 66, 67 cents each per mailer, and it essentially was mailed to the residents and households in the LCI area, because there's been a lot of conversation about concern about communities not knowing what's going on with Turner Field, not even understanding what the Recreation Authority is and what it means for the future of those communities. And so rather than relying on microphones and television and even social media, I thought it most important that we reach out to people directly, because there are people who still like to get mail in their hands, especially when you're talking about communities often with aging populations, that people have the information and that they know firsthand, unfiltered, what to expect. And that's what that mailer was.
The report also mentioned that there was, your photo was very prominent. And so does that add fuel to the argument, again, that we've referred to before from some folks, that either the head of the Development Authority role conflicts with your job on council, or that the long-range goal is you're running for something else, like mayor?
So to answer the question about the photo is attached to a letter that is signed by me. I don't think it's unusual at all for pictures to be attached to letters, and it's the same picture that's used usually when my name is in the paper or any number of other publications. And so I think, you know, if people have a complaint about seeing my picture, that's really not a complaint. That is probably the most important thing for us to consider as we do this very important work.
Do you feel any pressure or heat being, as a head of this, the Atlanta Full, the authority, and then also being a councilwoman because of issues like this? Do you feel any pressure or unnecessary criticism because of the dual role you have here?
I think that it comes with the territory. I think just being in public service, period, you are probably subject to an enormous amount of scrutiny that you otherwise wouldn't be. Sometimes I think it's fair, sometimes I think it's unfair, but I think it's part of what we do every day. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning sending emails regarding Turner Field. So to the extent...
Who did you send an email to?
let's see, there was my board, there were some members of the at Fulton County, any number of people. I probably sent out about 7 emails about 3 o'clock this morning. And so to the extent that it's pressure, I think it's more pressure about because you're doing a job that's always under public scrutiny. And no one ever wants to fail or fall short in anything that they do. But there is an extra layer when the public is watching, and you want to make sure that it's done right and it's done the way that it should be on behalf of the people.
Did you want to be head? Did you want to be named the head of the Development Authority?
Well, I, certainly.
Did you lobby for it with the mayor?
No, I did not lobby for it. So I absolutely, and I want to be clear, the mayor didn't make that decision. There's an independent board that made the decision. That decision did not come from the mayor.
He wasn't, or in other words, you were not his preferred candidate?
That's a question you would have to ask the mayor.
There was another mailing that was referred to in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution report. I want to get to that real quickly because we're short of time here. But there was a citywide mailing that you sent out about some of the good things happening in Council District 11, which you represent. Some $21,000 in district funds were used for that citywide mailing. So the question is, why use district funds?
Oh, you brought us the mailing.
I did bring you a copy.
Very fancy, very nice.
Thank you.
Very, very glossy, and a lot of pictures and text in it. So why use, though, district funds to pay for a mailing to thousands of households that are not in your district.
And the reason I brought it to you is because the last time I was here, we were talking about the Invest in Southwest initiative.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the center of this mailer on page 15, there's a spread on reasons, 11 reasons to invest in Southwest. And as I've explained when I've been asked about it, and I can tell you overwhelmingly, I've gotten positive response on this mailer. Coca-Cola doesn't just advertise in the middle of its building. To get people to drink Coke, they advertise outside of its headquarters. And when I think about Southwest Atlanta, I think of the same thing. We can't have a groupthink in Southwest Atlanta and expect that we are going to have real and meaningful economic development. We have amazing growth in the core of the city. But right outside the city, we have communities that aren't experiencing that economic boom. And that is what this Invest in Southwest initiative is all about. And I did send it citywide. And I did it with funds from my council district, which again, the ethics officer has said is permissible. There's nothing that restricts that. And the reason I was able to do it, I have nearly $300,000 in a carry forward account because I'm very careful of how I spend the money on behalf of my district. And I have an account that I can do important work for my constituents out of. And I thought there was no better investment than this mailer because it's telling people everything you see on the news about Southwest Atlanta is not true.
Let's talk about Southwest Atlanta because we all know about that there are some distressed neighborhoods, underserved communities there. So moving forward, and what are you hoping that comes out of this? Are you wanting to get more businesses to move over there? Because there's also issues concerned with some of the with the schools over there. People need to be able to work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that needs to happen. What are you hoping that will come out of this first?
Several things. On Friday, I did a tour with about 25 people, and we went through Southwest Atlanta, and included in that was a representative from Purpose Built Communities who's redone Eastlake. Schools are primary. Everything flows from having a good, solid education base in our community.
And I want to be clear, it's not to say that all the schools in Southwest Atlanta are struggling. I'm just saying that's part of the conversation we've been hearing for decades.
We have great schools in Southwest Atlanta, but I think it has to be a layered approach. I think it has to be a 360 approach. I think it has to be about improving our education system citywide. I also think that it has to be about attracting young families so that we can regenerate. And as we look at the core of the city and the growth in the core of the city, there's an enormous opportunity for Southwest Atlanta to be an inner suburb, if you will, for the city. And so my hope is that when people look at this annual report, to the extent that they have not considered Southwest Atlanta, they'll look twice. And they'll also go to the survey that we have, which is linked to KeishaLanceBottoms.net. Take the survey. We need your feedback. We have to know what we need to do to improve Southwest Atlanta, because if I can't do it, we can't do it just inside of the district. It's going to take help from all across the city to make sure that Southwest Atlanta is part of the growth of the city.
Real quickly, you mentioned that ethics officer Nina Hickson said that there is nothing improper about sending this mailer citywide. That is outside of campaign season, and we're not in campaign season now. It would have been a problem if we were in campaign season.
Certainly.
What would you say to folks who say, okay, you were just trying to steal a march on campaign season, doing something now, which is perfectly okay, that you couldn't do if it were campaign season, but sort of campaigning in advance?
I think that there are a lot of what ifs in there, and I think that you have to look at the facts, Dennis. And I think the fact is that it is completely permissible to mail outside of my district. I've done it before. This is not the first time. I am glad that people are paying attention to this mailer. And what I really want them to pay attention to is the reason it was mailed. And that is to get people to invest in Southwest Atlanta. Even on our tour on Friday, there are people who live right in my district who have not been on the Southwest Beltline Connector Trail. They didn't even know where to jump on. And I had multiple people say to me, I had no idea this was even in the community. And so when I sent this mailer out to people in my district, and the feedback I got was, I had no idea we had this happening. The other part of that feedback has been, thank you so much for fighting for Southwest Atlanta, because we need for people to understand what type of community we are and what type of community we want to be.
Will you run for mayor?
That race is over 2 years away.
And are you thinking about running for mayor?
I think about a lot of things, Rose, especially at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm sending emails for Turner Field.
Did you send one to Chairman Eves?
Well, if Chairman Eves is in Southwest Atlanta, he should have gotten one.
will you think about running for mayor 2 years from now?
Now, I can tell you, and I'm joking, but I am completely focused on what I'm doing on behalf of District 11 and what I'm doing on behalf of the Recreation Authority. There's a lot of work to be done, and I quite honestly don't think that I could do the work that needs to be done on behalf of my district and the Recreation Authority if I were in the midst of some campaign for mayor or for dog catcher or for anything else right now.
Executive Director of the Atlanta Fulton County Recreation Authority and also one of our councilwomen, Keisha Lance Bottoms, thanks for coming in and answering our questions. We appreciate it.
Thanks you
so
for
much.
Having me.